This is Greg Corumbus of Radio America reporting for WorldNet Daily. My guest at this time is John Gizzi, political editor at Human Events, the National Conservative Weekly. John, always great to have you with us.
Always great to be here, Greg, and a happy Easter and Passover to all our listeners.
Absolutely right. And, John, another busy political week. Maybe not the exact same intensity that we saw the last couple of weeks, but certainly some big issues out there, including the one that made everyone so intense. Healthcare has now been signed. The Fix-It bill, so-called, has been signed, which includes a federal takeover of the student loan industry. But the campaign does not stop. The opponents are very much making this a critical issue in the midterm elections, and President Obama is also still on the campaign trail, trying to sell what he sees as the merits of this plan, although the polls are still very much divided.
The polls are very much divided, and the opposition to the plan that doesn't understand it and just hears the words take over and federal government control are incensed. What this is translating into is more competition for Republican nominations in congressional districts around the country than at any time I can remember in my 30 years as a political reporter. In addition, the Tea Party rallies are getting larger and louder these days, and people are finding out things that, while it does not kick into 2014, the health care bill essentially voids the state departments of insurance and puts the hand of the federal government over insurance regulation and the insurance industry, something that's an entire revolution in interstate commerce laws. To many, this is the first step toward national health care, and it's a reckless shooting craps with destiny for the Obama administration.
So you clearly don't think that this is going to go down better with time for at least half, if not more, of the population?
No, I don't, as a matter of fact, because, again, something that's 2,409 pages long and has to be explained with a campaign cannot possibly get more popular. And, again, all but one portion of it takes effect 4 years from now. Repeal of the unknown means acceptance of the unknown will not become part of the American culture and American policy. Governor Jindal of Louisiana said it best. Repeal it, President Obama will veto it. Repeal it again, he'll veto it again. And the next time he won't be president when it's repealed.
John, let's talk about a couple of major international stories, one of which pretty much played out right here in Washington, and that, of course, is the visit of French President Nicolas Sarkozy. And it seems right now the biggest issue that those two leaders are working on, him and President Obama, is trying to stop Iran from producing a nuclear weapon. A lot of different speculation as to whether they're making any progress on that front. What do you believe?
Well, again, President Sarkozy is a risk taker, far more than President Obama. We saw this when he went to Libya and met with Muammar Gaddafi. We have seen it in the swashbuckling role he took as a leader of the European Union, and we've seen it in the dramatic rescue of Ingrid Betancourt in Colombia and how he put the imprimatur of the Champs-Élysées behind bringing back the kidnapped political figure in that Latin American nation. These are things he does when coupled with his attempt to mediate a dispute between Russia and Georgia 2 years ago. We know why they call him Speedy Sarko. Now, that said, will he be the point man for President Obama and the European Union on sanctions against Iran and an opening to Iran? I think so. The chemistry between the presidents in Washington and Paris is not that good, although they put on a good face for reporters last week, and certainly a lot of us were also pleased to see the president's breathtakingly beautiful wife, Carla Bruni Sarkozy, as well. Anything she's involved with can't turn out too badly.
John, well, do you think that there's going to be any way to convince Iran to stop? Do you think they can convince Russia and China to go with sanctions that might actually accomplish something?
Well, remember something. The government in Iran, we see as its face Ahmadinejad, who, like Castro, is very good at stirring up his people. He is essentially a spokesman for the Iranian government, a ceremonial president, if you will, and there are plenty of other figures in what can only be called a collective leadership. My guess is that there will eventually be change in Iran. It may have to be generational change, but it will come about as more moderate fixtures with ties and understanding of the West come to power. When that happens, time will tell.
Also on the foreign policy stage, John, the president announcing nearly a week ago now that he has reached a verbal agreement with Russian President Dmitry Medvedev, which means he's also found common ground with Vladimir Putin about putting back together the START treaty. Essentially, they'll be dismantling nuclear weapons and hopefully getting those numbers down even more over time. What's your take on this? Some say this is basically just status quo. Others say it's a clear sign that Russia is getting the upper hand in these negotiations.
Well, you know, a friend of mine told me not long ago that I haven't yet become jaded as a reporter. When it comes to arms control talks with Russia, I have to say I'm starting to become a little jaded. I've heard it before. These talks have been going on since the 60s, and yet in the end, the threat of nuclear musketry from each country still exists. And while it may have been lessened in some area, the policy that Ronald Reagan talked about and that Barack Obama underscored last week, trust but verify, still must be in the cards. I was in the press room when President Obama announced his conversation with President Medvedev, and then he turned us over to Secretary Clinton and Secretary Gates and Admiral Mullen. If the details on this lead to a more peaceful world, swell, but it's just I've heard that song and dance before.
John, a couple of political comings and goings to get your thoughts on now. First of all, in Maryland, just outside the nation's capital, of course, we're going to see a rematch of the 2006 governor's race, which was won by Democrat Martin O'Malley over, at the time, incumbent Republican Bob Ehrlich. Now Ehrlich's running again. There's clearly an anti-incumbent tide in much of the country. Who wins?
My guess is that Ehrlich will make the comeback. Governor Ehrlich was very successful in Annapolis as the first Republican governor in more than three decades. He kept spending and taxes down. And yet he was the only governor of either party to lose re-election. Why? Because he faced a very big Democratic tide that put Martin O'Malley in. Well, guess what? O'Malley is now raising taxes, increasing the size of government, doing all the things that Ehrlich held the line against. And while this is a state in which Democrats outnumber Republicans 2-1, the allegiance to the Democratic Party is by no means solid. My guess is that being removed from the Democratic tide and George W. Bush, Bob Ehrlich will make a comeback.
And finally, John, what's the significance of Kay Bailey Hutchison after her failed gubernatorial run, saying she'll stay in the Senate and finish out her term till the end of 2012?
No surprise to me. She kept putting off resigning for the longest time, and now she's staying in. I think one could hear the sigh of relief from the Senatorial Committee Chairman, John Cornyn, just simply because he did not want a special election that Republicans might well lose. She will retire when her term is done, but that battle can be fought then.
John, we'll have to leave it there. Have a great Easter. We'll talk to you again next week.
Looking forward to it and looking forward to being with you again post-Easter. I'm John Gizzi on Capitol Hill.
John Gizzi, political editor at Human Events, the National Conservative Weekly. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America reporting for WorldNet Daily.